ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం శ్రుతి స్మృతి పురాణానామాలయం కరుణాలయం నమామి భగవత్పాద శంకరం లోక శంకరం. పరిచ్ఛిన్న ఇవ జ్ఞానాత్ తన్నాశే సతి కేవలః స్వయం ప్రకాశతే హ్యాత్మా మేఘాపాయేం సుమానివ. అయాం, దట్ ఈస్ ది సెన్స్, ద సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ అయాం. ఇట్ ఈస్ ద ప్రైమార్డియల్ సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ అయాం. We call it primordial because it is the beginning of, it is there in the beginning before the world comes. First I am, then only the body, the world, and you may bring in God later. So which is first? The sense of I am is the first. Primordial, very important word, because whatever is at the origin, at the beginning of the creation, that is called primordial. So before the jagat comes into existence, whatever is, that is called primordial. There is an expression. So I am is primordial. What is I am? It is a sense. It is a yourself, anubhuti. So it is what you are. So we will see further. This I am, we give a name to it. The name is Atma. Okay, the sense of I am is taken as Atma as of now. To begin with, that is how we look at it. And because of ajnana, ignorance, this I am seems to be many things. Like, you may not like to hear it, but I am a son, I am a father, I am a brother, I am a sister. All this is due to ajnana. It may sound a bit odd for you, but then I cannot help it, you know. This is a Vedanta class, it is. It is not some Purana Kalakshepa, right? So, we are dealing with some kind of a science of Atma. That is what we are doing. We are not doing some storytelling job. Therefore, if you believe that you are a caste person, like Brahmana, Kshatriya, etc., like in India, it's a caste-ridden society. The society which is divided vertically and horizontally into multiple caste groups. And so you are not any of that. So you cannot say you are. That is all the truth of I am. It is not. And then the family people are worldly people. They look at themselves as father, brother, son, sister, all kinds of things they have in their mind. All of that is a superimposition. It has nothing to do with the pure I am. This is the ajnana. And this ajnana, you pick it up from the family and the society. All conditioning you borrow from the family and the society. So when you come to your Vedanta class, you have to unlearn all of that. It's an elaborate process of unlearning. People think that Vedanta is learning. It is not learning. It is unlearning. You have to unlearn all of that. But people are not ready for that. So when they are not ready for that, so they want Vedanta to be modified according to their conditioning. So sir, you please modify Vedanta. So some people, they come to me to discuss and they are hugely disappointed. They come to me to find out whether I will advise them based on numerology or astrology or astro-numerology or numerico-astrology. All these things are there in India. India is a melting pot of multiple superstitions. And therefore, they come for all that. I disappoint them. In fact, they say, what kind of Swamiji he is? Really? So they are totally disappointed. So anyway, people want validation of their imaginations. They are full of ideas and concepts. And the most unfortunate aspect is the class will be like this only, okay? For 1.5 hours it will be like this. It is a deal between you and me. Bear with it. So, they have all kinds of ideas and concepts which they take to be truths. I tell you one law. Any idea, however glorified it may be, or a concept, can never be the truth. Truth is not an idea. It is not a concept. It is something much beyond all your ideas and concepts. So, therefore, this is the ajnana. Another name for ajnana or avidya is all the conditioning that we have derived from the family and the society is ajnana. You know what people call mind is the waste basket of family and the society. Family and the society put together, put all their junk into the mind, our mind. So mind is described like that, as a waste basket. Of whom? Of family and society. Family tells, you are a caste guy. And this guy, he grows with that conditioning, and it will take a lot of effort on his part to get out of that conditioning. His caste label, to get out of it, it takes a big time. People take to sannyasa, but they are not able to give up caste labels. So, you are a Brahmana sannyasi, I am a Kshatriya sannyasi. In sannyasa also. So, that is how they are. You see, a child that is born in the flight is supposedly doesn't have a nationality. It is said like that. Legally, he doesn't belong to any particular nation. But if he is an Indian, having Indian origin, he will certainly, he may not have a national, but he will certainly have a caste. Something like that. Therefore, it takes such a huge effort on the part of the people to get rid of this caste label. Then they come with another label, birthday related label, birth date related label. This is something I could not reconcile till today. So, what is that? They come to Gita and study Gita for decades. Decades. Not 2 decades, 3 decades. But still, they cannot get this simple point that you are not born. And you open the Gita, that is what it says. So, Arjuna complains, I am going to die, all of them are going to die. Then Sri Krishna says, neither you are going to die, nor they are going to die, nor I am going to die. He says like that. Neither you were born, nor I was born, nor they were born. Natve vaham jatunasam natvam neme janadhipaha nachaiva na bhavishyamas sarve vayamitah param. This is the Sri Krishna's teaching, verse number 2. Verse number 1 is Asochyanam Asochyaswam. This is the second verse. This means only this much. Neither these people are born, nor I was born, nor you were born. Neither these people are going to die, nor I am going to die, nor you are going to die. Why? Because Atma is Ajaha, never born. Nityaha, Amaraha, this and that. That is where it begins. So we conveniently ignore all that and hold on to our beliefs that I was born to a set of parents, therefore I belong to a caste, and in the Indian context I belong to a state, Punjabi, Madrasi, they are very important labels in India. So teaching Vedanta to an Indian community is not an easy task, let me tell you this. To a bunch of Westerners, I can teach it more easily than to a set of Indians. Because they have such a heavy load of conditioning, religious, social, familial, cultural. I am just making fun of you. Take easy, okay? Don't get hurt and all that. This is all part of the game. So, you have to reject all this conditioning, lock, stock and barrel. You just throw it all overboard. Then what remains, you know, you have to, only this much should remain. Pure sense of I am. That much should remain. And Shankara says, Kevala. That is what it is. Kevala. Kevala, because many of you know Hindi, that's why I'm saying Kevala becomes in Hindi Akela. You know Akela? That came from Kevala. Kevala, one K, you reverse them. It is like Putra becoming Puttar. So the syllables get reversed. So Kevala Va comes first. Himsa becomes a Simha. Vashi becomes a Shiva. So similarly, Kevala becomes Vakela is Akela. Okay? Akela. Akela. Kevala. Pure. That alone. Nothing else. That remains. Tannashe sati. As the ignorance is dispelled, only pure Atma, meaning pure sense of I am, remains. You can examine this pure sense of I am a little. What is it? Pure sense of I am means what? What is I am? I am is the sense of being. Being, you know, you are. Up high, high. In Hindi, it can be called Haipana. You know Hindi?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is what. Haipana. In English, easiness. The pure sense of being. That alone remains. But the beauty of that pure sense of being is that it shines by itself. It shines by itself. It doesn't require an outer light to become evident. Aham, one's own sense of being, it becomes evident by itself. It shines by itself. You know it by itself. You don't need anything else to know it. You don't need the help of a thought to know your own being. To know the part, you need thought. That is called cognition. Thought is the means of knowing the world. With the thought you know the world. All cognition happens because of the instrumentality of thought. Therefore thought is the means to know. But you don't need thought because it is a thought, that comes later. First I am, then only thought comes. So pure sense of being, that one's own sense of being, one's own being, it shines by itself. Therefore, that is the pure being, shining as knowing. Got it? Pure being, in which there is no time, in which there is no space, we have seen that. So you can really, really call it spaceless and timeless sense of being, shining by itself, shining as knowing. Knowing, not knowing in particular this or that, no. It is the pure sense of knowing in which there is no actual cognition. Cognition means again division will come, the knower and the known. So the pure sense of knowing in which the duality of knower and known is absent. That is called Kevalaha. That is what you are. And that shines. You see, mirror is there. You turn the mirror, it is shining because of the reflection of sunlight. Then you turn the mirror towards the room in which there are many objects. Then all these objects will shine in that mirror, will reflect in that mirror. Suppose, instead of turning the mirror towards the objects, you turn it towards the sun. Sun is illuminating the mirror. Turn it towards the sun. Then what remains now? Pure sunlight remains. Nothing else remains. Mirror also will vanish. Take it like that. Take it like that. That is the illustration. Mirror also is gone. Only pure sunlight remains. So, now you are the pure sunlight, pure being shining as the knowing. You put it into the mind and the mind has the world in it, imprinted in it, and therefore there is so much of variety, division, multiplicity is there. And if you identify with the mind, you are part of that multiplicity. Suppose you don't identify with the mind, you go beyond the mind, go to the origin of the mind. That is the pure sense of being. That is the pure I am-ness. And the moment you cross the portal of mind, enter into the pure I am-ness, you are already free from ajnana. Tannashesati kevalaha. That's why when you abide as pure I am, we have done it yesterday and we will do it again in the meditation, you do not have the sense of division. Knower, known, sense of division will not be there. You alone remain as the pure sense of being, kevalaha. Then a question is asked, a part shines in the consciousness. The mind is required to illuminate the part. To know the part, you know, you have to tell the part is. A conscious being has to tell the part is. The part doesn't say, I am the part I am. The part doesn't say. The conscious being has to say the part is. And so for that the mind is needed. The thought is needed. Thought is the means by which you cognize the part. But now the self, the pure being, it shines by itself. Svayam prakashate. I am just following the verse. That's why I say you follow the verse. I may say many, many things, but I never give up the verse. I hold on to the verse. Svayam prakashate. It is a self-shining being. Now, part is there. Is it self-shining? No, it is not self-shining. Part is not self-shining. You may say, the light is self-shining. But I ask you, is it self-shining? Or is it shining because of your eyesight? It is shining because of your eyesight. It is not self-shining. Come to the eyesight. Now, you see, there is the eyesight with us. Now, you look within. So, what is it that makes the eyes see? And what is it that makes the ears hear? What is it that makes the mind think? What is it? That is the Atma. Therefore, Svayam Prakashate Hi Atma. The whole world shines because of the mind. Mind and sense organs. Sense organs are included in the mind. When you say mind, mind includes the sense organs. Okay? So the whole world shines because of the mind. The instrumentality of the mind is a prerequisite for the world to come to light. If the mind is not there, the world doesn't come to light. The world doesn't say, I am the world. The mind has to say, this is the world. Therefore, in sleep, there is no world because the mind stops cognizing the world. The world is entirely dependent upon the mind. Without the cognition of the mind, there is no world. And in meditation, if you sit in meditation, there is no world. You can shut off the world. How? By just stopping or ceasing to cognize. You cease the cognition. Once the cognition ceases, there is no world. It is shut off. Therefore, the Atma is Svayam Prakashate. And then I give an example is given. Like what? Megha Paye Amshumaniva. Amshuman is the sun. Ever shining. Sun is ever shining. And the clouds, they cover up. Megha. Megha is the cloud. The black clouds. Megha is a rain-bearing cloud. Sanskrit is like that. Meha is the dhatu. In meha, ha becomes gha. And E becomes guna. Megha becomes. Ha becomes gha. There is a rule for it. So, megha. Did you not hear some of the Karnataka singers? Magha Ganapati. Did you not hear? So they should not make ha to gha there. They are not allowed. Padini will not accept that. But Padini has a rule for it. So, some rule is there. Ho hanter yinin neshu. That is the rule. Only then ha becomes sikha. Not everywhere. Anyway. So, megha. Megha is rain-bearing cloud. Meha sechane. Meha means sprinkling. So, not some silly cloud. Rain-bearing cloud. Some sahityam and some grammar also in between. And so this rain-bearing clouds are black. They cover the sun completely. They cover the sun completely. Having made that statement, I want to modify it. Now you tell me, the rain-bearing clouds, do they cover up the sun or do they cover your vision? They cover your vision. They do not cover the sun. So in the solar eclipse, the moon, does it cover up the sun or does it cover up your vision? It covers up your vision. The moon cannot cover up the sun. If moon tries to cover up the sun, the moon will evaporate, it will not exist. Because sun is very powerful and all that. Moon cannot cover up the sun. Moon covers up your vision. Ghanachanna drishti. Ghanachanna markam. This guy, his vision is covered by the clouds and he says the sun is covered by the clouds. Anyway, in practical terms, it is as if the sun is covered. Take it like that. Megha paye. So when meghas are there, the sun is covered up. Now, the meghas move away. Megha apaya. Apaya is moving away. Then the sun shines brilliantly. In fact, the sun is shining all the time brilliantly. Not only now, ever shining. In fact, the sun is shining timelessly, you can say like that. He is shining in the morning, afternoon he is shining, evening he is shining, night he is shining, early morning also he is shining. Now what happened? Time has no relevance. Time becomes meaningless as far as the sun's shining is concerned. This is what we say, sun is shining timelessly. Time becomes important only with reference to the surface of the earth, not with reference to sun. Sun is shining timelessly. Similarly, the mind, it is active in the morning, afternoon, evening. In the night, it is inactive. It goes to sleep. When mind is active, Atma is shining. When mind is inactive, Atma is shining. Atma is the sun. Timelessly shining. So, that is the Atma, and that Atma shines. Such Atma, it shines. So, when the Ajnana is gone, the Atma, it shines. Svayam prakashate hi Atma, megha payim shumaniva. So you abide as the pure self, which is the pure sense of being. When you abide like that, what happens, you know, your misconception that you are this or that will be gone. You have to make it happen. So, you take yourself to be this or that in two ways. One, by identifying with the body. You see, this identification with the body, it brings a host of appendages or adjectives or attributes to the self. All are ajnana, like birth, death, male, female, father, mother, brother, sister, wife, husband, this and that, nephew, niece, all those appellations, all those attributes, and then family attributes will be there, social attributes will be there, Brahmana, Kshatriya, etc. And then a career will be there, a professor, an engineer, this and that. And then all because of the body. And then a bank account will be there because of the body. A nationality will be there. And then a family will be there. All these will be there because of identification with the body. As if these are not enough, then nakshatra, graha, rashi, all those things will be there. As if this list is not enough, add that list also. So all these appellations or attributes are in place because of identification with the body. There is a meditation. How ajnana will go away, I am telling. Ajnana, ajnana, nasha should happen, you know. Then only atma shines by itself. So you have to make it happen. So I cannot make it happen. Even Shankara cannot make it happen for you. Only you have to make it happen. That's why you have to become your own guru. Atma is the Sadguru. You have to become your own guru. Then only you can make it happen. Generally what people do, they hand over the responsibility of self-knowledge to the guru, along with a check. So, this check is the thing. I'm not discouraging you about checks. You please pass on the checks. That you are allowed to come. We will take care of all those checks. So please do that. That part I am not discouraging. But what I am saying is that check is not going to solve the problem. That is incidental. Check is like karma, it is. So you have to make this happen. So hold on to I am. I am very serious. I am not trivializing it. I am very serious about it. Really. So, you hold on to that I am. Not I am this or I am that. So, this meditation is there. You know what is the meditation? You may try. Go home and try. Suppose I am not the body. Now you will take it. Suppose I am not the body. Then what? My God, that is something. Can you visualize the enormity of consequence or implication when you even consider theoretically, suppose I am not the body. Oh my God, the enormity of implications, it is mind-boggling it is. Because what you think of yourself, what all you think of yourself becomes entirely meaningless that moment when you consider the possibility that you may not be the body. What a thing it is. The fact is, you are not the body. You are not the body. So, it's a very big thing. And then, mind. Suppose you are not the mind. You consider it as a possibility. You are not the mind. You are not your mind. Don't tell this to anybody outside. If you tell this to a person outside, they will take you to a psychiatrist. Because the person has to be put in an institution. Because he is a crazy guy. He is a mad man, mad person. That is, suppose you tell somebody, you are not your body, you are not your mind. What will they think of you? They think of you that you are a mad guy, crazy person. In fact, I tell you, you should be crazy to know the truth. You should be mad. That divine madness should take over you. Then only you will know the truth. You want to keep your body identification because you like to be called grandpa. You cannot be a body. Without body identification, you cannot be a grandpa. No, I want to be a grandpa. Okay, keep your body attitude. Don't talk about Atma and all that. Be honest. So, it's a very big thing. Therefore, this is the ajnana, self-identification with the body and with the mind, in a broad sense. There are so many other identifications, but broadly speaking, this is the ajnana. Suppose you drop that ajnana. You can do that for 5 minutes meditation. That is what you do. You drop it. If you allow it to drop, it will drop. If you allow it to drop, it will drop. But if you want to hold on to it, it won't drop. You see, in India, yes, I am giving an example. India means example I am giving. Some people hold on to their caste appellation with all their might, they hold on to it. So, they put the names like that. The child is named. The child is born. It doesn't know anything. They put Reddy, Sujata Reddy, or some other Reddy, Ram Reddy, or Chaudhary. These are some of the names in South. Chaudhary is there in Punjab also. Or Yadav. Some appellation. Sharma, Brahmana, Varma, Kshatriya, Shetty. Shetty is actually Vaishya appellation. They put these things. They put it very formally. In fact, he may give up his original name, but he won't give up the caste appellation. Therefore, if you are not willing to give up all these identifications, then you remain in samsara. Samsara means what, you know? You remain as a bag of bones. Hold on to that expression. It's an important expression. That is what we are. As you identify with the body, you are a bag of bones. Hold on to that. So it is a choice between being a bag of bones due to ignorance or pure being, timeless and spaceless being, shining as the knowing, in which there is no doing. Doing comes from body-mind. Body-mind is the doer, not you. And when it comes to mind, suppose you are not your mind, then what happens to you? You become free. You are not sukhi, you are not dukhi. So, you are neither happy nor unhappy. That is what mind is. So, now what happens is, you have to gain that space. In practical terms, gain that space with reference to the body. That is my advice. And gain that space with reference to mind. You see, when you gain the space with reference to body, you will not be a perennial patient. Otherwise, people are patients. Especially in advanced societies. In India, we become a patient when we become sick. Other times, we are not patients. Whereas in advanced societies, they are permanently patients. Because they hold on to insurance policy, they are just waiting to become sick, you know. Just waiting to become sick. There are two kinds of people. Some are sick and the rest are waiting to become sick. Whereas in India, sick are sick. Others are simple people. They are not waiting to become sick because they don't have an insurance policy and all that. So keep the practical aspects aside. So don't try to become patients. Don't try to be sick people. You become all that when you identify with the body. When you gain that space with reference to the body, I am not the body. I am not the body. So keep the body, leave the body in its place. So, and then I am not the mind. Leave the mind in its place. What needs to be done to maintain them in a proper shape, you do that. Let it be done. You don't do it anywhere. Let it be done. It is as if you are not part of this body-mind created samsara. You are just above. It is as if you are not part of it. You are above. It is something like children are playing the game of Monopoly. You know, game of Monopoly, it is all about money. Lots of money. Monopoly. Money, property, that is what the Monopoly game is. how that game originated, it originated from our practice of money and property thing. It is from our samsara only it came. So children are, half a dozen children are playing this game of Monopoly. They are playing here. I am sitting in my chair reading a newspaper. I am aware of what is going on there, but I am not in it. I am above it. Therefore, they are, some of them are happy because they are getting more and more properties and more money. Some of them are distressed because they are losing money. Every time they come there, they lose money. Whereas, I am neither happy nor distressed. Somehow, I am aware of all that. In that sense, I am in it. But somehow, I am not in it. I am above it. I am not blind. I am fully aware of what is going on, all the rules, everything is known to me. But I am not blind and I am not ignorant. I am not a novice. But I am not in it. Somehow I am above that. That is called Atmajnana. It is doable. You can accomplish it. No one here. So when you do that, what happens, you know? The body will have its pleasures and pains. And the mind will have its idiosyncrasies and its cycle of pleasure and pain. Mind also will have its own cycles of pleasure and pain. But somehow, I am above all that. So, when you go above all that, then you seldom become unhappy. Because mind becomes pure. You seldom become unhappy. And you seldom become sick. You see? Therefore, as you identify with the body in ignorance, you are causing all kinds of troubles to the body. When you identify with the mind because of ignorance, you make the mind more and more stressed out. You give some rest to the mind. How? Stop identifying with the mind. You allow the body to follow the laws of nature so that it will remain healthy. Patient medicine is required only for human beings. No other living being in this planet, on this planet, requires a doctor. Only human beings require doctors. And when the human being touches an animal, it becomes human being like. The animal becomes human being like, and the human being becomes animal like. There is a mutual interaction, you know, and therefore the animal requires patient, it becomes a patient now. It requires a hospital, a doctor, a ECG and all those things. Blood pressure it gets, a cat gets a blood pressure and all that. It becomes human-like and it requires insurance. All that it requires. And it requires ICU. All those things the animal requires when because of we touch it. If we don't touch it, it doesn't require any of that. And we become animal-like. What is animal-like? Identification with the body. That's it. Now, therefore, only human beings require a doctor, a medicine. No other life form requires medicine in this creation. Because human being, in his identification with the body, takes himself to the body, and in that ignorance, he isolates the body from nature. And somehow he wants to isolate the body from the loss of nature, and therefore he becomes sick. If you allow the body to have its dynamics, it will seldom become sick. Body is a self-healing machine. It will heal itself. You are not even aware of what is how it got any disease and how it is curing. Only when you identify with the body and then a host of wrong attitudes and habits come into the picture, now body becomes a source of enjoyment. You become an enjoyer. And so with the body you have to derive enjoyment from the body, From taste buds you have to derive enjoyment. From other organs you have to derive enjoyment. And therefore, you take the body out of natural cycle and it becomes sick. People become sick in the age of 40, 50. No animal or no living being has diabetes in this creation. Only human beings have diabetes. And the pets that their pets have diabetes too. The cats, the dogs, etc. They get diabetes because of their association with the human being. Anyway, all this by the way of identification with the body. And you are stressed out because of your identification with the mind. Dekho to, stop identifying with the mind. How to stop identifying with the mind? You watch the mind. You just watch it. As you watch it, you rise above it. That is what it is. You just watch the mind, it becomes quiet. And you are not the mind anymore. Because you are watching it, you know. As you watch it, you create that space. And so you are not, if you identify with the mind, then there is no space, you suffer. Whereas when you watch the mind, be watchful. Become a watchman. Become a watchman. So, take up watching watching the mind as a spiritual exercise. In the process, the mind becomes quiet. It is that simple, that practical also. Suppose you are agitated. The mind is, that means mind is agitated, not you really. But that is how we say. Suppose you find you are agitated, sit in a corner and watch the mind. Just watch. Don't ask how. Just do it. There is no how. As you watch the mind, you have opened the door to a higher dimension of pure awareness, that is the Atma, and mind becomes quiet. So two things happen. You open the door to higher dimension of spirituality and mind becomes quiet. So this is one thing, this non-identification with the mind. We will discuss a lot. So this is the crux of ajnana, identification with the body and the mind. And when that ajnana vanishes, now and here, for a second ajnana is gone, you are Atma in that 1 second. For 5 minutes ajnana is gone, you allow it to go, it will go. So you are the Atma for that 5 seconds, for that 5 minutes. Eventually, you will realize that what is the realization? It is negative only. Realization is negative only. Realization is but the opposite of ignorance. That is what it is. Shankara is going to say that in the next verse. So we will move to the next verse. But before that, we want to say that verse one time. These Atmabodha verses are very, very poignant verses. Parichinna ivajnanat tannashe satike valaha svayam prakashate yatma meghapayem shumaniva. That is some good progress. We go to the 5th verse. Ajnana kalusham jivam jnana bhyasad vinirmalam krutva jnanam svayam nashyet jalam katakarenuvat. You see, there is Jiva in you and there is a Shiva in you. Jiva versus Shiva. It rhymes, that's why he said Shiva, God. You have to first understand, you have to come out of this conditioning that God is a gentleman. You have to come out of that conditioning. Neither you are a person nor God is a person. You see, you are a person only when you are one with the body-mind. Suppose you stop identifying with the body mind. So you consider it. You consider it. When you look at it very closely, that becomes your knowledge, you know. Otherwise it remains a theoretical proposition, which is not of much value. So you look at it without the body mind. Are you a person? Not. Without the body mind, you are not a person. So, to become a person, you must be a body mind. You must identify with the body mind. Therefore, you identify with the body mind in ignorance, thereby become a person, and then you now conceive a God, who is, then he becomes another person. And Guru is another person. God is another person, Guru is another person. So, if Guru is a person, if you are a person, what then there is no Vedanta? Already you have closed the door of wisdom. And then, if God is a person, you are a separate person, then God becomes separate. So, the ignorance is firmly in place. And where is oneness? How can it be one? You are separate, God is separate, Guru is separate, everybody is separate. So you go into what is called duality, dvaitam. So people, they cannot come out of that duality. They are so badly conditioned that they cannot come out of that duality. They want their God to be a person. They want that God to be like that. And what kind of person? So they decide. We are all happily married, hopefully, and therefore God is also happily married. Sometimes our marriage is on rocks, it rocks and rolls, but God's marriage is perfect. He doesn't have any problem, because Lakshmi Devi is always pressing his feet. Now there is no problem. So like that. I am not even joking. I need not make it into a joke. It is a joke by all by itself. Don't you think so? So this is the conditioning. And you want to keep all that conditioning in place? Why do you want to keep... So you can see that it is conditioning. But still you don't want to give it up. Why? Why? You think? You know why? You are afraid. You are afraid. And I tell you one thing. As long as you are afraid, you will never come to know the truth. Fear makes us slaves. Fearlessness is the first precondition for knowing the truth. You must be fearless. So even God doesn't want you to be afraid. Abhayam. Very first qualification. Daivi Sampada, you know. Daivi Sampada, 16th chapter. How does it begin? Abhayam sattvasam shuddhihi. Abhayam, fearlessness. Fearlessness is godliness. So the point that I was making is... you take yourself to be a person and then God becomes another person. Guru becomes a third person. That is not acceptable. Anyway, coming to the point, you accept this much. God is not sitting in Vaikuntha or Kailasa unless that Vaikuntha happens to be your own heart. It is like that. You see, in your own heart, there is never any failure. That's why it is called Vaikuntha. Kuntha is failure. Vaikuntha is free from failure. It never fails. Ever free from failure. That is Vaikuntha. In your heart, it never fails to illuminate the mind and the body. Does it ever fail? to illuminate the body and the mind? Never. Mind is active. The Atma is illuminating the mind, like the sun. That is the Vaikuntha. Okay? And Kailasa. Suppose Kailasa. You see, your mind may be on fire, but your heart, that Atma, is ever cool. That is Kailasa. Okay? Mind may be on fire, but the heart, that is Atma, is ever cool. That's why it is Kailasa. And therefore, your heart is the Kailasa. Your heart is the Vaikuntha, whatever you want. Therefore, where is God now? In your heart. Okay, you come to that point. If you assume, or if you hold on to this conditioning, namely God is somewhere above the seven clouds. The seven clouds are lokas. His murti or symbol is in the temple. Here there is nothing. Here myself only. Then this Vedanta is not for you. You go to a temple and do a puja so that hopefully you will go there. There are many number of people who are chanting the sacred name because they want to go there. Goloka they want to go. What will you do in Goloka? Suppose you go there, what will you do? You should not question. You should not ask any questions. It is a huge problem to start asking. In Goloka, there is only one man. All other are women. Goloka is like that. And that one man is a Shri Krishna. And all other are women. Now you can imagine how it will be. You just think of a person in this world married to two women. Just think of what will be his fate. Now, Sri Krishna. What is Sri Krishna? I don't want to go anywhere near that guy. Because he cannot have any freedom of any. I am better off. So like that. Don't ask any questions. Just nod your head. No. All that conditioning doesn't apply here in the context of Atma Bodha. Are you willing to put all that conditioning aside? For God's sake, just give it aside for a while. I am not saying God is not there. I am saying God is there. By all means God is there, but He is in your heart. Now what happened? So Jiva is there here. Shiva is here. It rhymes, that's why I am saying like that. Jiva is here, Shiva is here. The person is here, the God or the divinity, that is better. Because the word God, the connotation, it means an individual, a person. So, it is not a person, it is the divinity. Like electricity. Electricity is there. Is it Mr. Electricity or electricity as a power? Electricity is a power. Not Mr. Electricity. What do you mean by Mr. Electricity? Why the male? Mr. Electricity means male. Then what about, is he married? Yes, married. Married to whom? You are into some serious problem. So don't enter into all that. So electricity is a power. Where is it? It is in this bulb, in that bulb also. In all bulbs it is there, in fans it is there, in everywhere it is there. So you can call electricity Vishnu. Don't call Mr. Vishnu, call Vishnu. Vishnu means Veveshti iti Vishnu, pervades everything. That is the divinity. Take divinity like that. That is in you. How do you know that divinity in it is there? Look within. As I already said, what is it that makes you the eyes see? The ears hear? Just a little rude also. What is it that makes the hair grow? What is it? not the person you take yourself to be, right? Mr. Johnson, the person, he is not responsible for the eyes to see and all that. So, that, let us give a name to that. It is called Atman. Why? Why do you call it Atman? Because really, really, you are that. Your essential nature is that only. That's why it is called Atman. Or it is called Ishvara or Shiva. Why? Because you are a person and you are not the author of the eyesight, the faculty of hearing, etc. And therefore, the higher power is the other, and that higher power is called Shiva. Therefore, that is the Shiva. Now you know what is Shiva, and that Shiva is here. Okay? But you see, the Purana has some significance, some beauty in it. But what happened, we have become literal. There is a thing called spiritual versus literal. Did you ever hear that? Spiritual versus literal. Suppose, you see, examples are hard to come. You see, some examples, just to tell you the difference between spiritual versus literal. You see, somebody, what he did, he was lying like this and there was a bucket near his foot and he kicked that bucket. So, that means what? He died or what? So, kicking the bucket, you should not take it as literal. Kicking the bucket is an expression. It has nothing to do with a bucket that is physically being kicked by the person. It all of that put together means to die. So, if you take literally, then what will happen? In fact, there was a director, what he did, you know, in the movie, there is an old man, he is on the deathbed. And unexpectedly, there was a bucket there. He kicks it and dies. Anyway, so you have to see, there is a thing called literal versus spiritual. I will give you an example. Shiva has serpents, he wears serpents. Okay? Therefore, now what you do? You catch hold of a guy, an unemployed person, and make him stand there. Put some rubber serpents to his hands and to his neck. Give him one trishula, a trident made of wood, and ask him to hold it. This gentleman is teaching Shiva Purana. That is what they do in India. And he sits on an elevated seat. And this poor Shiva is standing there. And he is sweating profusely because all the fan is taken over by this Bada Mahatma. And that man is sweating there. And then he cannot even sit because he is paid 150 rupees to stand there with his trident and these rubber things. He is very sweating and all that. Indian weather is like that. All kinds of colors are put on his body. He wears some silly cloth that resembles the hide of an elephant or whatever. He will be standing there. And this man, Mahatma, Shivaji nritya kar raha hai. What is Shiva? And he says like that. Shivaji sarpon ka dharan karta hai. And some orchestra and this man the sarpa. What is that? Are you okay with all that? It looks silly, to say the least. It looks ugly. You should not take literally like that. That is not proper. And if anybody, if some Western people look at it, they will make fun of you. And then you complain that they are making fun of Hinduism. So it is all silly. Shiva wearing serpents means he holds all power in his command. Shiva wearing a moon means he is cool. You know cool? A pure heart is a cool heart. He is pure, therefore he is cool. The ragadvesha fire is not, doesn't even touch him. He has Ganga on his head, means he is pavitra, sacred. Papa doesn't even come anywhere near him. And like that, he is a Digambara, means he is a space-like, not naked. Space-like. That is Shiva. Therefore, the physical description of the Purana, it has wonderful significance. That is what is called spirituality. So there is a physical description. You take the spirit of that description. You are spiritual. And now Shiva is in your heart. Then only he can be your heart. Otherwise this poor guy standing there, how can he be sitting in your heart? It cannot be. Therefore, suppose you take Shiva literally. That is what we do in India all the time. Sometimes I wonder, we the Hindus are mired in the quicksand of Puranic stories. That is how I feel. We have become literal. Literality defines our way of life and our religion. That is the misfortune. We must be spiritual. Means in every description of the Purana, you have to look for the spirit. And so, why I said all that? Because I wanted to prove to you that Shiva is in your heart. And that Shiva is the divinity. Therefore, Jiva is in your heart. You are in your heart, you are the Jiva. And the Shiva is in your heart. There is a separation. What is the separation? The separation is due to ignorance. Because you are a sentient being. You are sentient, you know. You are the being shining as the knowing. That is what you are. I am. And Shiva is also Sat Chit. He is the being shining as the knowing. So what is the difference between Jiva and Shiva? Essentially both are same. It is like the difference between a wave and water, a wave and ocean. That is the difference. Essential wave is small, ocean is big. But when you look at the size, wave is small, ocean is big. Suppose instead of looking at the size, you look at the quality. What is the quality or the essence of wave? Salty water. What is the essence of ocean? Salty water. There is no difference. As salty water, wave and ocean are the same. It is the size which differentiates the wave from the ocean. Similarly, as Jiva and Shiva, both are Satchit. Jiva is Satchit, Shiva is also Satchit. But Jiva, due to ignorance, is separated from Shiva. Due to ignorance. That is the Kalushi Bhava. Ajnana Kalusham Jevam. It is like the part space is there. Part space. Now I tell you, I ask you a question. Now this part space, is it part like or is it space like? You tell me. It is space like. Not as big as space. True, but is it part-like? No, it is not part-like. It is part-like means it must be material. Part-space is not material, it is a space. Therefore, part-space is not part-like, it is space-like. Okay? So, wave, is it water-like or is it some frequency, some wavelength-like? Water-like. Similarly, you are Jiva. Are you body-like or are you Satchit-like? You are Satchit-like. This is very important. You have to get rid of this Ajnana. Ajnana is the Kalushyam. Kalushyam is impurity. This impurity called ignorance, you should get rid of it. now itself, how you have to take yourself to be Chinmaya Sat. That is what you are. What are you? I am. That is the answer. What does it mean? Sat, the being, shining all by itself. That is what you are. Chinmaya Sat. Right? That is what you are. Okay. In a way limited. You feel that you are limited. It's all right. Limited. But Chinmaya Sat. You have to feel that way. You have to feel. You see, you have to say verbally. How? Aham Chinmaya Sat. Verbally. You have to say. And intellectually, you have to understand how I am aware of the body. I am aware of the body. See, I am. Therefore, Sat. I am. Is there any doubt about it? No. I am. Therefore, Sat. Sat is the being. I am is the being. Therefore, I am. No doubt. Sat. And I am aware. Chinmaya Sat. I am aware of the body mind. I am aware of everything. Therefore, I am awareful being. That is what you are. You are awareful being, albeit limited. I will go along with the limitation as of now. You are the awareful being. You have to arrive at that. If you do not arrive there, you see, I am a bit expressive. I want to express. If I hold back, if I do not express wholeheartedly, fully, the message may be blunted. I don't want that to happen. That's why I express myself wholeheartedly. So, suppose I say, I am a Swami coming from India, a visiting Swami. Chairman of some organization. You can always put names, you know, some Sanskrit phrase you can always add. We have full of Sanskrit samasas. Come forward, plenty of them. So I am a Bharatiya, Bharatiya Adhyatmika Vidya Samiti Chairman. I am. Just now I made a software. That is what I am. Huh? And of course I am in 60s. I am a 5'10". Some kind of photogenic it used to be, not anymore. That is what I am. Huh? And I am a diabetic person also. A diabetic or BP, whatever. Something or the other. Kuch na kuch. Are bhai, if you are that, then you are part-like with the space saying I am part-like. I am not all that. Then what am I? Chinmaya Sat. Limited. But Chinmaya Sat. You see, I will ask you, you are worshipping God. You expect the God to be sentient or insentient? Huh? You tell me. You want God to, okay. He is in worshipped in a stone idol, but he is not like a stone, you know. He is sentient, right? God is sentient or insentient? Sentient. Therefore, he must be Chinmaya. God is or is not? He is. Therefore, he must be Chinmaya Sat. In fact, God is a Chinmaya Sat. You are also Chinmaya Sat. So, it is like part space versus all space. All space means all pervading space. Now, part space, needle space, all space, they seem to be different. They appear different. It is only appearance. Difference is only appearance. In reality, all are space-like. You see, suppose I bring a drop of ocean water, sea water, a drop of sea water I bring. Whatever is there in the sea water is here. Sea water is wet, this drop is wet. Sea water is salty, this drop is salty. What else is seawater? Mostly that it is salty, wet. That is seawater. Salty wetness. This is salty wetness. This is what we call Bindu mein Sindhu hai. Okay? So in Bindu, the Sindhu is there. In a drop, the ocean is there. Only the size is different. In the pot, the all space is there. Only the size is different. Now I ask you, see, the size of the pot space, is it the size of the pot space or is it the size of the pot superimposed on space? It is obvious, you know. It is the size of the pot that is superimposed on the space. Suppose you say there is water in the pot. That means water is inside the pot, not outside. Not everywhere. Only inside the pot it is there. Is it same when it comes to space? Not same. When you say there is space in the pot, but then space is outside the pot also, not only inside. Not only outside and inside, in and through, it is space. In fact, it is not space in the pot. Really speaking, it is the pot in the space. Therefore, you are making a very big mistake in imputing the qualities of pot to the space. You are making a mistake by adding the qualities of the pot to the space. Don't make that mistake. No, it appears like that. It only appears like that. You should not take appearances to be real. You should not. So don't put the qualities of pot to space. Qualities of pot belong to pot only. Suppose pot is broken. It has a hole. Now you cannot say there is a hole in this space. Pot is there is a line, broken line. You cannot say space is broken. Pot is smelling. You cannot say space is smelling. Pot was born. You cannot say space was born. Pot dies or breaks away. That doesn't mean space is breaks away. In fact, what all belongs to pot, not one of them belongs to space. Though it is a space in pot, it is entirely different from pot. Similarly, the Chinmaya Sat in the body mind, you take it as a unit. The Chinmaya Sat in the body mind is not like the body mind. There is not even an iota of commonality between the body mind and the Chinmaya Sat. Chinmaya Sat is all the way unlike the body mind. The size of the body is not the size of the Chinmaya Sat. The time limitation of the mind is not the time limitation of the Chinmaya Sat. There is an electricity network in Toronto. A few bulbs fuse. That doesn't make any difference to the network. A few more bulbs are added. That doesn't make any difference to the network of the electricity. Anyway, I have given enough examples. Therefore, the Jiva and the Shiva are different only from the standpoint of identification with the body-mind. The moment you stop identifying with the body-mind, at that moment you are not Jiva anymore, because the ignorance that surrounds the Jiva is gone, and therefore the oneness is in place. That's why even in practical terms, I sit like this, look around. That means I am the body. First I become the body and look around and see all kinds of different things. Then look at Bhagavan's idol and feel, oh, God is great. I am small, God is great. And I am worshipping God. Like that you feel the division. You experience the division. On the other hand, you close the eyes and drop, allow the body to remain in its place. Ask the body, relax and just be, just remain in your place. Allow it to drop. Relax and drop. And then look at the mind. Allow it to relax and drop. Then pure, aware, full being you are. When you remain as the pure, aware, full being, in that being, in that, in being that being, you do not experience the division of Jiva and Shiva. You do not experience any division. The knower, known division will not be there. The devotee, Ishvara division will not be there. The division will be there only when you are a person identifying with the body mind and look around as everything separate from you. Then God is also separate from you. That is where the division is there. Therefore, the division of this ignorance should not be taken to the reality of the Atma. Therefore, this ignorance of looking at the division and taking experience of the division, taking it as real, as long as you hold on to that ignorance, you seem to be separate from God and God seems to be separate from you. You see, you should come out of it. You should come out of this duality. Because if there is a sin, that is the sin. The duality is the sin. The division is the sin. In the nature, there are many things, but there is no separateness. All are united by the laws of nature. The law of nature unites the apparent multiplicity of the nature into one reality. So similarly, the law of spirituality unites the Jiva with the Shiva. If you see multiplicity in the universe and assume that it is the truth, then you are committing a fundamental blunder. The multiplicity appears true, but it is not true. It is not the truth. Multiplicity appears only. It is not the truth. You have to look for the oneness, unity behind that multiplicity. You should not take multiplicity or diversity as the real. There is a unity. In all that diversity, there is a unity. Like water droplet, wave, a whirlpool, river, tank, ocean, and then sound. Sound, you know, zord, sound, Philips sound, etc. they say. And so, rivulet, and then all these are there. They are all different. But behind all this diversity, there is the unity, which is water. You see, they say if you go to Alaska, they have recorded 185 kinds of ice. Different snow, fluffy snow, sleet. Like that, how many kinds of them things are there? So many things are there. Snow itself is blue snow, white snow. So many things are there. But all of them are the same water. There is unity behind all this diversity. Everything is like that. All Namarupa is like that. So when you look at the universe, you have to see the unity in the diversity. And when you look at yourself within you, you have to see the unity in the diversity of Jiva and Shiva. You see, Ajnana Kalusham Jivam. You are afflicted. Kalusha means afflicted by the ignorance. And therefore, you appear as a Jiva separate from all. Now, that is the ignorance. That is the Ajnana Kalushya, the impurity of ignorance. Now bring in Jnana. Jnanabhyasat vinirmalam. You practice jnana. Then what happens, you know, all this ignorance will vanish. Slowly it will melt away. There is a thing called abhyasa. Some people maintain that there is no abhyasa in jnana. Then what is this verse? Jnanabhyasa, it is there. There is a jnanabhyasa. You see, I tell you, to take the world as real is ajnana. And to take oneself as unreal, I was born and I will die. The world is real. It is like the projector light saying, I was born and I will die, but the cinema is real. The movie is real. How bad it is? It is not correct, you know. So to take the world as real and one's own Atma as unreal is ignorance. And please understand, it is not just mere ignorance. It is the cause of sorrow and fear. It is very practical Vedanta it is. Just because I am talking of unity of Jiva and Shiva, don't think that it is philosophy and that can wait. Now our urgent life is more urgent. Don't think like that. Don't make that mistake. It is now you sit in this Jiva Shiva thing, then only you will have peace of mind in your life. Otherwise you will be consumed by the endless desires and fears repeating meaninglessly all through the life. Is there an end to the kind of desires and fears that you are holding on to as a child, as a young person, as a middle-aged person, as an old person? You continue to suffer from the burden of desires and fears. You have worshipped so many gods, visited so many ashrams, served so many mahatmas. Is there any change in your situation? No. Therefore, don't think that life is a different level and philosophy is a different level. It is like saying knowledge is different and samsara with ignorance is more important now. It is not like that. Therefore, you look at this issue wholeheartedly. So you are a person, jiva, only because of ignorance. Ajnana kalusham jivam. So now you have to remove that kalushyam, that impurity, that ignorance is the impurity. So, taking the world as real and one's self as unreal is ignorance. It is the cause of sorrow. To know the self is the only reality and all else is mithya. I am coming to that mithya in the next verse. It will be tomorrow's class. So, that is the truth. And to take the world as unreal, Atma, the awareful being alone is real. And understanding that as such is freedom, peace and joy. What needs to be done will be done. The natural thing will be happening naturally. Suppose you wake up, you have to wash your teeth and have a cup of tea. These are all the natural things, they happen naturally. You don't need to become identified with the body mind to allow all those things to happen. So everything, whatever has to happen, will happen. Nothing will stop. And it will happen according to a scheme of things only, not according to your wish or whatever. So don't worry on that count. You practice jnana. How to practice jnana? Avoid ajnana. How? Suppose you are looking at a young man. You feel as father. Therefore, he becomes the son. You are looking at an old gentleman. You feel as a son. Therefore, he is the father. You are looking at a middle-aged person. You feel as the brother. Therefore, he is the brother. You are looking at a woman. You feel as the man. Therefore, she is the woman. Now, suppose I feel myself as the awareful being, suppose. Then what happens? That is called jnanabhyasa. Suppose I feel as guru. then you are all shishyas. Whether you agree to it or not, I can count. I have 200 shishyas in Toronto. I can go and boast elsewhere. There is some truth in it also. A person who has 20 shishyas says that I have 2000 shishyas. Why can't I say I have 200 shishyas? I have some logic also to go with it. But suppose I feel as a very full being. That is how I feel. Suppose. That is how I feel. I don't have any doubt about it. I am a very full being. Then, you know what happens? You are all the very full beings. This is called Jnanabhyasa. We'll do a small meditation. So the preliminary steps of meditation, namely sitting upright, that makes you very alert. And then relaxing, alertness and relaxation are not opposite to each other. Even as you sit upright, you relax. By keeping the shoulders and the hands loose. And alertness and cheerfulness are also not opposite to each other. Even while being alert, you sport a smile. And now you are alert as well as cheerful. Allow the mind to relax. Let go. Just let go. The burden of the worldliness, the burden of samsara, you allow it to go. Drop it. Allow it to drop. It will drop. If you allow it to drop, it drops. Simply be yourself. Don't be anything else. Don't be this or that. Don't be mother, father, brother, son, daughter, etc. Just be yourself. Nothing more, nothing less. Just be yourself. I am. Be the non-verbal I am. Yourself. Be the feeling I am. Not the sentence I am, not the thought I am. The feeling, the inner feeling. You are already free from the identifications of the body-mind. Simply, I am. Who am I? I am. The being, I am the being. Who am I? I am the being. Shining. As the knowing. being, the silent being, pure being, shining as the knowing. Not being this or being that, pure being. Not even knowing this or knowing that. No knowing in that sense. Pure knowingness. Being shining as the knowing. In which there is no doing. I am the being. Shining as the knowing. Chidanand Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham. Don't be afraid. Don't hesitate. Declare. Chidananda Rupaha. Shivoham Shivoham. Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham. Shanti, shanti. Relax. Sit at ease. Keep the eyes closed. Don't rush into the thoughts. Be the being. Just be the being. Thinking can wait. Relax. Slowly open the eyes. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. We have the class tomorrow.
At 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Tomorrow's time, 6 o'clock. Oh, tomorrow 6 o'clock, huh? Ah, okay. Tomorrow 6 o'clock.